Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. We'll give you the latest on the Cowboys and the news. And I think I'm going to look at draft-eligible quarterbacks in college. That's how I meant to phrase that. Draft-eligible quarterbacks going into this college season. There's a lot of interesting ones, a lot of good ones. And maybe we'll explore that idea as far as, you know, we were talking about yesterday with Joseph Hoyt at this time. At what point would the Cowboys, should the Cowboys escalate their prospecting on quarterbacks? You know, when they found Dak, they had just taken it up a notch from the Stephen McGee's of the world to, hey, let's spend a four on it, see what happens. And they nailed it. You know, right now they're moving sixth, seventh round type of stuff, looking for a guy. They have a solid dude in Sam Howell. You know, but would this spring, with this potentially legendary and historical draft class, prompt you to consider a day two pick?
You know, I was interested in what Joe kind of threw out during our conversation with him about, you know, is there a team that would be interested in Joe Milton? And would you throw out any compensatory, like a three, to go get Sorgsby in the supplemental draft? I mean, I think that that's something that I'd be interested in doing.
Broadus was saying a couple of days ago he's going to go watch that Sorsby tape.
We have.
All right. You watched it already?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pick this up.
Yeah.
Let's pick this up in like 20 minutes. Here's Wolchuk with your mixed bag.
Perfect. Let's shake it on up. That's going to be a fun Krusty's Corner.
Yeah.
Okay, now, in 40 minutes.
Yeah, 40 minutes. Congratulations to Mike Leach. He's officially under consideration for the College Football Hall of Fame class of 2027. Now, remember, we were doing those stories about it was the winning percentage.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite, him and Les Miles were both like just slightly the percentage to be eligible. Now, they adjusted it last May. So now will be the first cycle that Mike Leach is eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm assuming he's going to get in. I think that this would be certainly a big missed opportunity, and that'll be an awesome moment for him, for his family. Brett McMurphy reporting that. Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State coach. So that was good news to see today that that's officially now. He's eligible, and we'll get that voting underway.
The old posthumous award.
I know. It's sad. Now, Texas with the number one toughest schedule in all of college football. CBS Sports actually put out who does have the toughest schedules for CFP contenders. Now, this is following the spring ball practices. Oklahoma comes in at number two. So a couple of SEC teams right there. Texas at one, OU at number two. Right now, the number of ranked opponents post-spring in the top 25s that are out now, they've got seven. Texas has eight because Texas has Ohio State on the schedule. Oklahoma does not. Now, Oklahoma does have Michigan on there, which will be a good non-conference matchup. Ohio State is at three. Michigan at four, Ole Miss at five, A&M at six, LSU at seven, the Trojans of USC at eight, Georgia at nine, and Bama at 10. So there's a theme.
How many SEC schools?
Right. You got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven of the top 10 are all SEC schools. Yeah. There you go. It's a tough conference, huh?
Well, it's deep. It's not as top heavy as
Big Ten. The Big Ten might be better.
The best of the Big Ten is better than the SEC.
I think from top to bottom, the Big Ten might be.
Really?
Yeah, if you go all the way down.
Last year definitely was.
Yeah.
Last year was not a great year for the SEC. We'll see if that happens this year because you did have contenders like South Carolina that just weren't good last year.
Kentucky.
So hopefully they end up. Yep, Kentucky 100%.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a new NBA mock draft, and we're getting closer now to the Mavericks selection there, and we also got to get a new head coach. I mean, what the hell is going to happen there? The Bucks and their trade talks with Giannis, the expectation is that will happen prior to the draft. Some reporters are like, NBA insiders, there's a 0% chance he's on the Bucks next year. So expect the trade talks with Giannis to heat up. And Orlando, reports are a team to look for in the Giannis sweepstakes.
Makes a ton of sense. He gets to stay in the East, which I think is what he wants to do. He understands the landscape in the East is a little bit easier. And now that he's got, I mean, Sean Sweeney was with him with Milwaukee, and now Sean Sweeney's the head coach with Orlando, so you have that connection as well. A lot of solid young talent. So that would make plenty of sense.
So the top picks, A.J. DeBonsa, the freshman from BYU, going number one in this mock, courtesy of The Ringer. And you got Darren Peterson going two to the Jazz. Mm. Cam Boozer from Duke, the forward. Going three to Memphis. Caleb Wilson, who some believe could end up being the best player out of this draft class, from North Carolina, goes four to the Bulls. Keaton Wagler, the guard from Illinois, goes fifth in this mock draft to the Clippers. Mykel Brown Jr. Ah, that's a bummer because I think that a lot of Maverick fans would like him, especially if that bat clears. But he ends up going sixth in this mock to Brooklyn. Darius Akef Jr., Arkansas, he's off the board. Goes 7 to Sacramento. Ade Mara, the Michigan big, goes to the Hawks at 8. And that leaves Kingston Flemings, who I've seen as a name that is circulating Mavs Twitter more and more here recently. It's him and it's Braden Burries from Arizona. But Kingston Flemings, the guard from Houston, at 6'2.5", 183. He's 19 years old. The write-up is the Mavs have cleaned house in their front office and coaching departments, and the new execs have carte blanche with how they proceed in the draft. With Kyrie likely maybe a trade candidate, the Mavs are in position to find them a point guard of the future. If he's still on the board, Flemings is the guy. Given his short wingspan, that doesn't really fit what Masai Ujiri's stereotype usually is, but Ujiri also likes pit bulls who get feisty at the point of attack. Think Fred VanVleet. And that is what Flemings can do. He also has outlier explosive traits. He's got a 40.5 vert, and he's arguably the best end-to-end speed guy in this draft when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, yeah. The speed jumped off the screen whenever you would watch Houston play. They listed him at 6'4", and then he goes to the combine. He's 6'2.5". I think the size factor, you mentioned the short wingspan. I think it's the shortest wingspan of all guards that are supposed to be first-round guards in this draft. Wow. I think that's going to work against him. I've seen that like in the interviews and stuff like that, like intangibles-wise, he's blowing people away. So maybe that can kind of help offset some of the concerns that they have with like the length and things like that. So I still think the size stuff is going to be something that – like VanVleet was kind of a shot in the dark – like, yeah. Undrafted, I'm not taking you with a top 10 pick.
Like, at 30 right? with their pick, maybe I'd take a flyer on that.
Right.
Not necessarily at 9.
I think Ujiri's going to emphasize wanting more size, more length. And when you look at this Western Conference Finals right now, two teams that you're going to have to go through if you're going to be contenders, they got big guards. Their guards are big. SGA is a big player. Jalen Williams is a big player. Dylan Harper, Stephon Castle, these are all like 6'4", 6'5 dudes.
What did his weight come in at?
I think it was 185.
Flemings?
185?
185. Yeah.
Man, that's surprising. Yeah. He looks 165. Must have a big upper leg situation
that
going
could
on
be.
Or something, because he is lean.
Flemings?
Yeah.
It's interesting, and he is roughly, I think it's 10 miles between his hometown and where Allen Iverson's. I think it's Hampton and Newport News.
Something's in the water.
Yeah. So if you're looking for areas that produce maybe smaller great players, just kind of throw that one out there. But yeah, I think it's roughly 9 miles apart between those two cities.
When I watched him, like, I understand he's fast. I didn't see the shiftiness side to side. You know, there's straight line speed, like I'm a bullet, I'm the fastest guy here. How shifty are you? How wide can you take it to one side and get to the other side of a defender? So when I watched him, I just wasn't impressed, you know, but I didn't watch the entire season of him. I haven't studied him that closely. I'm just trying to get a feeling on how I feel about him, and I would be disappointed right now if they took Kingston Flemings.
Let's move to a couple of G-Bag Nation, you make the calls here.
Just to be fair, Braden Burries is the guy that I think you want out of Arizona.
And Burries was available.
That sounds like the guy that my gang of seven, or gang of three, really likes.
Yeah, Burries is a guy that's been connected. I mean, earlier it was Mykel Brown Jr. Right now, as we get closer, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available at 9. If he is, maybe that's the pick. But the guy that does seem like he's going to be available and that's been linked to the Mavs is Burries.
Yeah, he's 6'4". He's got the wingspan. He's got the, I mean, he's like 215 pounds.
Plays defense.
Like
strong. Play,
more of a two guard, though, than a traditional point.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But hopefully he could maybe grow into being a guy who could handle the ball for you a little bit more.
Yeah, and I like the idea of keeping Kyrie, so that wouldn't bother me at all.
Sure, at least in year one.
Absolutely. Let's do a G-Bag Nation. You make the call. I got two of these. We're going to start with a sport, then we'll get to just like, hey, is this fair or suitable? Bruce Cassidy, former head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Boy, he's got to be sick to his stomach. Maybe not. Maybe he's happy for his guys, but he did win a Stanley Cup a few years back with Vegas. Then they fire him. They lost 6 of their last 7. They were 3-5-2. And then, boom, they say on March 29th, bye-bye Bruce Cassidy. They bring in John Tortorella. Well, now they look up, and they're in the Stanley Cup final. But Bruce Cassidy is still under contract with the Vegas Golden Knights through the end of next year. So they still hold his rights, and there are several teams that have been reportedly interested in bringing him in to interview him as their new head coach. The Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, and the Vegas Golden Knights said no. Now, the Kings, obviously, divisional opponent, and the Oilers, also a team, divisional opponent. So I can kind of understand that, but here's Bruce Cassidy on the Spit and Chicklets podcast trying to make his case.
No, it's upsetting. I'm going to be honest, because once you're fired, you know, your contract's basically terminated. But the one thing people don't realize is all the deals, you know, they got the NHL bylaws, this and that, and I don't know everyone, but, you know, you have non-compete clauses. So I can't resign today and go work for someone tomorrow. I can't work until Vegas gives me permission until this contract's up, which is at the end of next season. So, you know, if you resign, all I do is not get paid. So, I mean, you know, I got green beans to take care of.
Vince brought that up.
Yeah. I did. I said, can't you just forfeit your salary and say, hey, like, I don't need your money. I want to go get the bag from somebody else.
So it's not right that they can let you, it's not right. They can let you go and then still stop you from working. That's where the bylaws are probably messed up a little bit.
Yeah. And like I said, those are in, I think, everybody's contract. So that is what it is. But you can't do that. And I think they do that probably because they wouldn't want a coach in the middle of the year to resign on February 1st and go work up the street on February 3rd, right? Because they like a better situation. I'm sure that's kind of why some of these things are written in. But in this case, yes, there was two teams that asked. It's public knowledge now. And I would like to talk to them. I want to go to work. I'm a hockey coach. As much as I love being around Biz at TNT, I want to get back to work.
I initially was on Bruce Cassidy's side here because I'm like, dude, you just fired him. You can't say now you can't go coach another team. But if I'm Vegas and I'm paying Bruce Cassidy, hell no, I don't want you to go take a job with a division rival of mine, somebody in my conference that I'm going to be paying.
Shouldn't have fired him then.
So that's how I felt. But you've got his rights now till next year. If I'm paying a guy, I've got his rights.
Can I interest you in a fifth-round pick for the rights, please?
Hey, we can talk about that.
Yeah, can I give you like a
you want to give me something?
Bag of sticks and some pucks or something like that? Yeah, can we do something different here?
Where do you side on this? Because I felt the same way. Like, you shouldn't have fired him. Yeah. But but that's worked out for him. But at the same time, I get it. If you're Vegas, you
must not have an offset
in
his contract.
No. He does not.
It's crazy they'd rather pay him $4.5 million a year to not coach than perhaps not have to pay him at all and he can go coach somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never really going to boohoo for somebody who's going to sit there and collect $4.5 million a year for not having to do anything, right? I mean, let's just be real. He's making $4.5 million to not do anything. So, I mean, I guess he knew what he signed up for, right? I mean, it's different if they're not paying him and for whatever reason he's not allowed to go coach. That would be ridiculous. But he's making $4.5 million a year.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not wiping
those
tears,
nice,
bro. Yeah. $4.5 million a year. It's all gravy, man. I'll see you in 2 years.
Unless he feels like that if he sits out a year, that he won't get a job.
There's always that risk.
He's thinking that maybe that I got to strike while the iron's hot. You know, I mean, I know I just got let out, but, you know, and probably people are looking at his team like, I would look at his team like, dude, were you the problem? Why is this your team in the Stanley Cup Finals? You got to think about yourself, like, if I need to coach because I might not get opportunities if I sit out, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he wants to jump back in.
But we've lost respect for the contract, haven't we? Like, I don't like my contract. I don't want to be here, but I also made this commitment to you that I now want to crawfish on, and that should be okay with the world. Woe is me, you know? It's not a contract. It's a competitive environment. You're getting $5 million a year. I'm with Chief.
Okay, now the last thing I wanted to get to here is we had a New York woman. She goes to a bar.
Is this a joke?
Nope. She tries to pay her tab with her ex's American Express card via Apple Pay. So I guess the ex never took the card off of her phone. It's still logged in via the Apple Pay.
What a schmo move to upload your card onto her phone as we start this off.
So now she has gone viral with her and her friend. There was a video of them at the bar. They're like, pang, will this go through? Will this go through? And then boom, it does. And then they celebrate. And they rack up a nice amount on this guy's tab.
How nice.
We don't have the exact number.
But you know they went hard. As soon as you find out that first swipe worked.
Yeah. And the first set of drinks, I mean, it looked like these two were getting ready to party hardy.
And they're in New York. These are like $30 cocktails.
You can dispute these charges, can't we?
It can't be cheap. Yeah, technically he could dispute the charges.
Absolutely dispute the charges.
Absolutely. Yeah, he should. Absolutely
could. It's from a stolen card.
But fair.
There you go.
I mean, like, what do we think?
No, not fair. What do you mean, fair?
If your ex leaves their info on your phone.
Listen, it's not a Netflix thing, right?
Is it
sure,
fair
you
game?
Left your Netflix password. Guess what? I'm not paying $15 a month. I'm using your Netflix. It's not screwing you in any way. You still get to watch Netflix. I watch Netflix. Who cares? Okay. This is the credit card. I leave my credit card at your house, and now you're going to start swiping it? Absolutely not.
It's the
hard foul.
Yeah.
That's like technical foul.
I thought this was pretty
dirty.
That's
flagrant. That's a flagrant too. You're ejected and we're calling you a bleep hole for the rest of the time.
Maybe we're suspending you a week too.
I'd suspend. Yeah, slap hell
a nice
yeah,
suspension.
Definitely challenge it right off the jump.
Yeah. I mean, I would. If I saw those charges go through, I'd be like, what the hell is this? We're making a call to, you know, the American Express or wherever the heck
yeah.
it is.
But usually, like you say, do you guys have alerts on your cards?
Yeah. Yeah, if my wife spends a certain dollar figure,
yeah.
I know immediately.
Yeah, you should.
No.
And I didn't tell her what that dollar figure is.
I trust my wife.
She'll split it up into
bucks.
Two swipes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She'll double swipe that thing.
Doesn't that seem a little criminal? Like, isn't that stealing?
Yeah.
I would say that that's
ultimately,
stealing.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
I think I'm calling the local police department, and then I'm calling Visa, you know, denying the charges.
Screw this woman.
See what we can do. We got the C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening. We'll take a look at draft-eligible quarterbacks entering this college football season and more. Krusty's Corner is going to look at Soresby 340 here for you, and we're back with more sports on the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, a couple of stories here from blogging the boys, RJ Ochoa, who was just on Love of the Star with you guys, wasn't he?
He sure was.
How the Cowboys picked up the extra win post-schedule release. They went from 8.5 to 9.5, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he writes, while scrolling through social this week, a video on The Athletic appeared. The TikTok video made note of the fact that Cowboys and Panthers each picked up an extra win by way of the schedule release. You can watch the video for yourself here. He links to it. The premise is that neither of those teams have to play any short week road games all year. So
yeah,
you're
clutch.
Going on the road and they're giving you a full week to prepare every time. That's pretty cool. Michael Irvin says former Cowboys legend wanted John Elway role. This is Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You know, and he says he feels horrible for the guy. I don't know how you could expect that to happen, knowing how much of a hard ass Troy Aikman is and how much he'd want things to be his way. There's no way Jerry Jones would have ever allowed that sort of voice debate.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from the playmaker's standpoint of like, man, if you're ever going to kind of make an exception to that general rule, wouldn't it be a guy like Troy who did so much for the organization and being the leader of those championships? Like, man, if it would ever happen, then you know, maybe it would be Troy that Jerry would kind of open the door for a little bit. But obviously, they were wrong about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, if there's anybody that you would open that up for, I just think Jerry wants this group of employees that are going to be loyal to him above all other. And I don't think you could trust Troy, you know, to keep his frustrations in-house or to not blow up. Like, the reason that Vrabel might not work, too strong of a personality, can insist on things being his way. I think that's Troy Aikman, and I think he would have done a hell of a job.
For sure.
Well, I think the chances of Jerry greenlighting that are zero.
Yeah, and I think, to me, the vibe that I got from the outside looking in and then with the Netflix special that came out, The Gambler, and listening to Troy talk, Troy just does not appear to me to have respect for Jerry the football guy.
Mm.
I don't think he really looks at him as a guy whose opinion he cares much for when
yeah.
it comes to football.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Jerry, it's like, okay, well, then F you.
Yeah, that would have been a short-lived Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones experiment probably anyways, where both of them were like, okay, yeah, this has been, whatever, 3 years and we're done here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, Jerry wants to, you know, be propped up. And because of that, like, Troy would have to come in as I'm going to save the Cowboys from Jerry.
Yes.
You right. know, and how's that going to play in the media? It just doesn't work. Then we go to the crucial stat that could make or break the 2026 Dallas Cowboys. Every double-digit win season, they've had a positive turnover differential. Every negative turnover differential season has resulted in fewer than 10 wins. You know, and a bunch of other times they've been even this century, but 21-12. And that's, I think that's been the number one thing that has consistently been a message from Shoddy, you know, when he's asked, like, what do you guys have to do to get back to winning ways here coming up in 2026? He'll talk turnover differential with you. So I think that'll be something to watch there with the ball skills guys. We had it good with Diggs and Bland like 18 months, didn't we?
And it stinks. Like we were just talking on the stack earlier, and we kicked this around with Daniel Jeremiah's stuff. Like you have three playmakers on defense, and we should be able to say, like, yeah, Daron Bland, boom, right off the cuff. This dude just broke the pick six record for most pick sixes in a single season. He was in turnover machine, and then now you're looking at him, we're like, I can't. Is he good anymore? And then is he going to stay healthy for me? He just has not been the same player, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
All righty, we got ESPN's list of the best draft-eligible quarterbacks going into this college football season. There's nine guys in their top tier of guys to watch. You guys zeroing in on anybody right now as far as who quarterbacks you're excited to watch in this upcoming college football season? The text is open at 877-881-1053. Who do you think's the best?
Laundry list of dudes to be excited about, and they probably all won't meet expectation, but there's such a good group here that you would expect at least a handful to rise up. I mean, Arch Manning, of course, has to be at the top of that. I do think Lenoris Sellers for South Carolina is another guy who you've seen the improvement. He had nothing to work with South Carolina last year. Nothing. The offensive line was brutal. No receivers to really speak of. And so hopefully they've done enough to build around him a little bit more and give him a little bit more of an opportunity. But you've seen him grow. And he's just a total freak show physically. Like, my gosh, are you kidding me? This guy's amazing. So those two would be right at the top of the list. Dante Moore's another guy with Oregon for sure. It's a shame you're not going to get to see Sorsby. But Trinidad Chambliss is another one.
Yes.
You know, I'm excited about Trinidad because he was really, really good. Probably could have gone decently high in this year's draft, but one more year with Ole Miss, I'm excited to watch him play. Mestemaker, I mean, geez, dude,
yeah, you got
a ton of guys. Levitt over there at LSU brought us your guy, and another dude who's been put on the map a little bit is Drake Lindsey, quarterback for Minnesota.
And oh yeah,
he's only I think
Nate Tice guy.
Yeah, he's only a sophomore. But he's 6'5", 230 pounds, and apparently is pretty dang impressive. I don't know if he'll come out in next year's class because I
redshirt sophomore.
So he could, but that's just another guy that people are pretty excited about.
The kid at Ohio State's interesting.
Julian Sain.
Yeah, Sain.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, I believe he led the nation in completion percentage.
Yeah,
30 some odd touchdowns, very few interceptions.
He's another guy that you saw much like Arch. I mean, second half of the season was night and day different.
Yeah, really good.
A 77%. They've trusted him to make a lot of the calls at the line of scrimmage. I guess doesn't have the ideal size or arm strength, so maybe that will limit him. Didn't throw middle much either, which is I think a function of the Ohio State offense. Predetermines a lot of stuff pre-snap. Are we going quick game? Are we going deep? Mm-hmm. That's what the ESPN article's saying right here. So maybe they're not asking him to do some of those things like throwing over the middle, but that would be, you know, obviously pretty important for NFL teams to look at. Amongst the nine guys in tier one, Chief, you hit a lot of them. CJ Carr at Notre Dame, 6'2", 215. He is another redshirt sophomore. His big challenge is refusing to give up on big plays. He's scrambling. He's throwing too aggressive into trouble. Sounds like you're not impressed, Wolchuk.
Did you just mouth fart into the microphone when you heard CJ Carr's name?
But I'm a Notre Dame hater, I think.
He kind of looks like a good-looking version of Carson Beck. Like, if Carson Beck wasn't inbred, I think that's CJ Carr.
Maybe this year he really shows off. I didn't love what I saw from CJ Carr at Notre Dame. But, hey, you know what? We'll give him another year. I think that the USC guy, and I don't know for sure, is it Maiava? Is that how you say his last name?
I think so.
Jaden Maiava.
Watching just Mekhi Lemon and the other USC receiver last year, like, he was a fun player to watch. That kid can spin it.
I guess he's a happy feet guy.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
And then you have to wonder how much of this success was Mekhi Lemon, who was just a demon down the field catching the deep ball.
And Jacoby Lane, that's who the other receiver was.
Who went to Baltimore. 37 completions on 20 passes or more air yards. He led the FBS. 37 throws deep. So that's Maiava. He's top tier. Arch Manning, 6'4", 219, heavily debated player. The traits and name will get him drafted round one. I think there should be at least four. four round one quarterbacks that we'd be expecting looking at this. CJ Bailey at Clemson. He's 6'6", 210, and he's pretty fast. He just turned 20. Wow. I guess he's breaking down under pressure and has to add a little bit more bulk to him. And then Miami's Darian Mensah makes the top tier as well. Textbook poise and mechanics. Ball security is the issue. I guess he lost five fumbles and didn't step up when pressure was near him. That's what's to watch with Darian Mensah. Does he feel the pressure? Does he have that sixth sense eyes in the back of his head? But check this out. 24 touchdowns, zero picks in the red zone. It's pretty dang good. He's creative and confident, though. He sees stuff. He trusts his arm. He layers throws between levels. So there's a lot to like. Mestemakers, tier one at Oklahoma State.
Let's go.
Quick release, big time throws, incredible story. I guess the knock is locking into his first read. Seems like whenever we got excited and we were tuning in for him, there, you know,
he
stuff
played
went
his
awry.
Worst in the yeah. conference championship game. He definitely did.
Dante Moore at Oregon. He should be a top 10 pick unless things go crazy. Best of the rest here, Jaden Craig, TCU, Harvard's all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns. Byron Brown at Auburn. Indiana's Josh Hoover, transferred from TCU. Kevin Jennings at SMU in his second tier, only 192 pounds, but he's tough. He can throw it. Just turns it over too much. DJ Lagway at Baylor.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I was excited about DJ Lagway last year, Florida. It all fell apart. Maybe Baylor, it's where his dad played, and they get it out of him.
Do you think John Mateer has a shot?
No, I'm not a Mateer guy.
Marcel Reed had seven turnovers in his last two games at A&M. That kind of, but he's back, and you know, I know the Aggies feel like he can maybe get rid of those turnovers and be a decent quarterback for him this year, but probably not a draft prospect, at least at this point in his. I mean, he's like the 20th, 21st guy listed here. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner. Speaking of quarterbacks, what do you have in store for us, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it. You give me a scouting report on this Brendan Sorsby. We'll do that next.
All right, welcome back. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com, and here he is, the king, Brian Broaddus.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you always playing that. Thank you to Greystone for as well for being a part of this. Can I ask a real quick question here? And it's kind of a you make the call. Do you consider, how do you view a gift that somebody bought you with your own credit card?
Oh.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward.
Did you leave the Amex on the girlfriend's phone?
No. No,
this is your son.
Yeah,
this
Bennett.
Is your son out doing his golf tour and
right.
whatever you're up.
Yeah, he got you
and
something.
Dad, I got you something awesome. You're going to love it. It was only $750 on your card.
I know exactly how much it was.
It was, you know, I talked about, you know, getting, like, you get the results when your card's being used. That's something I've always done. My fear. If I would have just done that with my Twitter thing, I probably wouldn't have got hacked.
Is this anytime your card gets swiped? Or is it a certain amount?
Yes.
Okay. Anytime
it gets swiped.
So you know every single step.
I know every
step.
Single transaction that's done on my cards.
That's awesome.
And so Bennett sent me a text. He's like, Dad, you're going to love what I got you.
What I got you.
You're going to love what I got you.
And Happy then Father's I go, Day, Pops.
Yeah. And then I go, that's cool, man. You didn't have to do that. And then the notice came from the golf shop there in the golf shop in St. Andrews. And I'm like, well, hey, did you use my card? And I knew damn good and well he used my card because I saw it. He goes, and then I get this maybe, .. as I'm talking to him. So, yeah, I just didn't know if you guys have ever had the experience of, like, your card being used as your gift.
Yeah, if you're getting somebody else a gift, I feel like you should be paying that yourself.
I mean, anytime my wife gets me a gift, it's
Is it on your card?
It's. She's not pulling her financial weight that way.
I've taken to buying myself Christmas presents.
And just having them wrap them?
Because if I don't, the only one I'm going to get is a pair of pajama pants for my mom. Yeah. So I would look at that the same way.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. As long as you're getting something you like.
Yeah, but you're making that decision, you know?
I was surprised because he was so excited. Because I always tell him, listen, I don't need anything.
Yeah.
I don't want anything. And he was like so happy. And then that charge came on. And
Taking care of my dad.
I'm like, All right, thanks. Like, and he's got his own money. He's got his own money.
Oh, he does.
Oh, he has his own money. Yeah. This card was given to him as an emergency.
Oh, wow.
This is like an emergency card.
He's using the emergency card.
Use the emergency card to give him some
emergencies like every other day.
I wonder what you got yourself, Brian.
I don't know what. I wonder what I got. I'll probably have it on here Monday or Tuesday, something like that.
But I think that goes to life lesson.
Yeah.
Are you going to grill him pretty good on this?
No, I
going
to let him down easy? I sent him the.
You said thank you?
I said, wow.
You're the best, son.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm like, yeah.
How can I send you next?
But I just, when I got the charge, it was kind of, I laughed because it just immediately goes, you're going to love what I got you. And then it comes across. So anyway.
I think that goes to, Dad, I'm at the St. Andrews golf shop. Would you like anything?
Yeah. And I said, no, you don't have to get me anything. He goes, oh, no, I guess he'd already got it.
Good question from the 321. Is this just a new poo golf towel for you?
Well, the drab.
Wow, that would be, a St. Andrews poo golf towel.
Be amazing. I bet that this.
The Royal and Ancient golf towel used to.
Okay, so what if this is something that really he wants?
That he knows I'm going to give it to him?
Yes. Do you think that there's any possibility of that?
That'd be a heady play by him.
Oh, I think a very heady play.
I think he's pretty damn smart, this bettor. He kind of knows how to play the game.
There was a place right down from his hotel, and I'll get to this football just in a second. There was a place right down from his football, the St. Andrews Brewery. So if you wanted, I was hoping he'd get me like a hat or something like
a cup.
I don't need a cup.
You're a cupsman.
Well, I'm talking. I do the cups are more of
just sports,
sporting events. Yeah. So, but if you got me one from the Open Championship, that would be cool.
That'd be sick.
That'd be cool. But he tried to flex on me. He took his picture by the claret jug, which is the trophy, and then I had to send him a picture of me holding the claret jug.
Oh.
He was standing there, and it was in a case. And he's like, check this out. And then I immediately sent him a picture of me holding the damn thing.
Wow.
That's a pretty good response.
Man.
Like that? All right. Zach, do me a huge solid. We're going to talk about this Brendan Sorsby, this quarterback that potentially the NCAA is saying, hey, you're not eligible. He went and got him some help. He's no longer a gambler, we don't think. He's, so what the NCAA said, listen, we're going to suspend you. So we're getting ready for a supplemental draft, potentially. I did talk to some guys in the league about this supplemental draft. There's no date yet set.
Sometime in July, right?
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm telling you what guys are worried about in the league. There's a lot of guys that are in the transfer portal that haven't signed anywhere.
So they could flood the supplemental draft as well?
They could maybe jump into that. And that's what these teams are kind of worried about, that all of a sudden you got this group of guys who don't have a team, and then they flood the supplemental draft.
So no college team wants me. Let's see if a pro team does.
Yeah. That's immediately my thought. Yeah. Like, why would they even be highly considered? Or is it more so just like we're not prepared? We haven't done the homework on these guys like we would usually do.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where they're a little bit. They're like, listen, we're okay with the supplemental draft, but we don't want to all of a sudden have to add all these extra guys to the supplemental draft that can't play. So that's kind of where this is going. So keep an eye on that, but we do not have a date. Zach, you're a resident insider for Texas Tech Athletics.
Yeah.
Give me the story about Give me the particulars about this kid and all that from what you know from your Tech sources.
Well, they loved him at Tech. I mean, they think that he is a really good leader. They think that he was good teammate-wise. Now, he has not been back to Lubbock since he came out of the rehab. He's visiting with the family now, and then he's going to come back on campus. But they were initially very hopeful that they would find a way to get him on the football field this year. I think the more that this is dragged out, and apparently, I think I saw a report that it's going to be like student law that's going to be handling this the NCAA side of this on June 1st during the court trial. It's going to be Texas, a Texas law student, and a Houston grad. So they're law school grads from Houston and Texas. So they're going to be representing the NCAA in their case versus Brendan Sorsby. But I think the likelihood is their hope is maybe he could get a half-season suspension, in which case they feel good about navigating their schedule. But I don't know that he's going to be eligible. And in this case, yeah, he's probably going to be going to the
Supplemental
I
was surprised
draft.
To see that he's like 6'3", 240 pounds.
Yeah,
his film
actually, when you watch him play, he has got, and I'm going to say this and be serious, there's a couple of pro players to me he's like. He's got some Cam Newton-like ability when it comes to like ball, when like taking the ball and running.
Really?
And being that kind of physical. Their offense is a lot of this, the RPO stuff. And it's, okay, as far as the ball handling stuff, he's got some Aaron Rodgers to him. This guy, and his ability to kind of throw it and kind of sling it and throw
various arm angles.
Underneath people and throw around people, layer it over the top. This guy, he's got that kind of ability. And his feet are a little bit happy. And you saw that with like an Eli Manning, kind of a chop, 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 you know, kind of.
They're buzzing in the pocket.
Always buzzing, always looking. But you watch him run, he is as physical of a running quarterback that you'll deal with.
Doesn't shy away from contact.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And so, but the throwing, it's like he's got touch over the top. I don't think he has that great or elite arm strength. But what he has, I think he's pretty accurate when you start to talk about the slants, the cross routes. He'll come out of and take the ball off a fake. It's quickly out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost like he'll fake it and he'll crouch and sling it sidearm to the outside. Or if he has to, he'll fake it, touch it over the top. He's got a lot of ability. And I love the size. I love the athletic ability. I love the toughness about the kid. I could see why he was the first quarterback. Everybody was like, in talking about him in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could do a lot of things with him offensively.
Very talented.
But that his ability to play fakes, and then get the ball out of his hand creates problems for defenses who have to deal with him. If you ask me of the guys in this current draft, and Zach, I'll let you have your say because you did the work as well. He's the second best quarterback he would be in this draft. Probably
would he have gone round one?
I think there's a possibility he could have gone late one. Me personally, I gave him a two. I gave him a two. And I feel like there probably that some team will put up in the supple if, in fact, we get to that point. I don't know if somebody will go with one, but I know my scouting report, I agree. And Zach and I have had this discussion this morning. We did a show together. And I know he's got him just a little bit later than me, but I personally have a second-round grade on him. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if some team looking at that film and seeing the athletic ability, the toughness, the size, the ability to throw from different platforms. I could see this happening.
Yeah, if I were the Cowboys, I'd throw a third-round supplemental draft pick at him. And look, another team might say, hey, I'll do it too. I'd gamble on him. I think he's got a lot of talent. The thing that frustrates me, Brian's right about the feet. I mean, the footwork's all over the place, but he is a really good athlete. He'll take off and run. He can climb the pocket well. He's got wheels to evade defenders. He reminded me a little bit of a bigger version of like a cross between Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel, the way you kind of watch him play. He's got touch to be able to layer throws. He can look off defenders and be able to hit the crossing patterns. The thing that's frustrating is the deep ball accuracy really wanes with him. There's times that he's going to put way too much air under the football. It's going to be underthrown, or he's just going to go ahead and zip it, and it's going to be overthrown. But he's got the velocity. He can hit you in between the hashes. He can go outside the hash marks as well. So to me, the arm angles, the various platforms, to be able to do the RPO stuff, the first read, like how – often is he able to kind of go ahead and go through his progressions. That might be what Cincinnati's offense was asking him to do. But this is a player that 45 touchdowns, just 12 interceptions, 31 college starts. He's experienced. I would have loved to have seen him this year at Texas Tech. But I think that, you know, when teams are going to watch him, if you're a team that needs a quarterback,
yeah,
It's a lottery ticket, and I think he's got a lot of the traits that I would take a gamble on.
Yeah, seeing him throw on the move, going to his left, going to his right.
Yeah,
I mean, just watching him on YouTube right now, does look pretty nice. I mean, he tore up Bowling Green. My gosh,
very aggressive going down the field.
He'll push the ball. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tech would have been in a really good shape, offensively with this guy. Because, like I say, he brings toughness. The style of play that he has. I mean, that's a design run guy, and to be able to move to his left, his right, throw, and I think he could be accurate doing these things.
I see what you're saying about the play action stuff.
Yeah,
he's quick with it. It's the ball
very
fakes.
Very Aaron Rodgers like with the he rides the fake and then deception. the ball's out, and so I and here I am. These quarterbacks like the Ty Simpson.
But I'd have had him. I'm with you. I'd have had Mendoza.
Yeah,
Sorsby Simpson.
Yeah,
I think the Rams would have taken him at 13th instead of Simpson.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that to me, Nussmeier. I liked Aller. I know that there's not a lot of folks.
I mean, Aller's got a stronger arm than
much stronger. But
look good at OTAs today.
Yeah, but I just kind of feel like that to me that. This guy would have been the second, and actually, I had Nussmeier and Aller and Simpson, those guys all in the third. This guy would have been my second round grade. I would have had him. He would have been the only second round grade I would have had for the quarterback.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Crusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. All right, 2 down, 2.5 to go. Rangers baseball coming up at 6:30. They try to get back on the right track against the Royals, who are worse than them, okay? So that probably means the Rangers will get swept.
Yeah.
So just prepare for that. Football fix coming up, Wolchuk. Where are you taking it?
Well, we actually have some breaking Sorsby news, biggest positional upgrades, and should we cross this potential free agent off the Cowboys wish list? That's next.